This week on the Koshcast, West Ham batter Liverpool with a post-Christmas Carroll who gets payback as his side get payback. Arsenal struggle to the top of the table after the worst performance since Miley at the VMAs, United finally win a game, not the first time Rooney has screwed a gilf, and it's Brazilians from Chelsea as they sail past Palace. Elsewhere, we've got the rest of the Premier League fixtures to chat about, the latest from La Liga where Atleti are on top, Mumu of the Week, and some more transfer rumours to shoot down. Have it! Welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex, and today we have a front three sharper than BBC, sharper than MSN. It's Ram. Roche?
Yes.
Alex, myself, and Mohamed, who is back.
Yes, just completing the tripod.
Yes.
Do you agree with Ram or do you prefer Arm?
I like Ram because it's like, you know, attacking, you score. There's something to it.
It's aggressive.
Yeah. I like Arm because, you know, we've got the hand of God. You know, those are some goals that have been scored in the past.
You can be one arm of the tripod and then you get your arm and we get our Ram. Anyway, we're here, there's three of us. We're still one man short. Bernie is still in Nigeria. Mohamed, how was Egypt, man?
Egypt was fantastic. I went on a great Nile cruise.
Excellent. A Nile Quinn cruise,
yes. And did some scouting, as you guys know. We'll talk about that.
How's Al Ahly?
The local Egyptian league is as good as it's ever been. actually, news, Mido.
Yes.
Just got appointed the Zamalek manager, which is one
again.
Of the top two. Again.
Why?
He got fired from his other job because the star player didn't like him.
His shawarma joint.
Yes, he subbed him off with 15 minutes to go in a game to rest him, and he wasn't having it, and he got sacked.
Wow.
Yeah, player power, man.
Wow.
We talk about short-termism in the Premiership, but that's like next level.
Yes.
So he's back at Zamalek?
Yes, he is.
Interesting.
And he's quite chubby.
He's a fat git.
Yeah.
There must be some really good shawarmas in Egypt.
Yes, they're not bad. They're really a Syrian thing, but sure.
Yeah. Mido makes Rooney look like Ramirez.
Really? I have to see Mido now, then.
Yeah. As Bernie would say, Ramirez looks hungry.
He does, yes. I'm hungry for Premiership.
Oh, man, I really missed the pod, so let's get right into it.
All right. Where are we starting?
We're starting with West Ham 2, Liverpool 0. I don't know if anyone saw it coming. I mean, West Ham, yes, they played some good football this season, but Liverpool, yes, their last game or two weren't the best, but I thought Liverpool would win this one.
Yeah, to be fair, Liverpool were expected to get a result here, and I think it just goes to show that it's really unpredictable this year. We've said it for the last couple of weeks, but West Ham now have done the double over Liverpool, so good for them.
They have, that which is impressive. Would it be expected? Not necessarily, but I'm equally not very surprised. Liverpool, and I like it because someone put this to Klopp after the game. A journalist said, what we've come to expect from you so far this season is you'll be very good one week and you'll be very bad the next. Mm. And Klopp was really pissed off about that. And he was like, well, you get to say whatever you like and we just have to deal with it, which is a standard manager response. But Liverpool have been very inconsistent.
Klopp was very disappointed after the game. Mm. I mean, two interviews. The first one he said, we only gave 90% and that's unacceptable. The second one he said, even if you're at 98%, that's not enough. And he tore into his players a little bit saying...
He did.
Saying they had Liverpool had chances to score. But he's saying that there was a lot of lost concentration in the back. And Andy Carroll really made them pay. I mean, Liverpool's 35 million striker.
Yes. He's still their record transfer, which is great.
And the cross from Mark Noble for the second goal was fantastic. And Carroll, I mean, he's one of the best in the... Him and Lukaku, I'd say, are one of the best in the business on getting at the end of those.
Yeah.
And he made them pay.
We've kind of taken the piss out of Carroll lately because with his feet, he's still a bit of a donkey. And I think a lot of... A lot of the problem is that he's always returning from injury. So we rarely see him match fit. But when he is, and when you put balls into the box, he's almost impossible to deal with.
His last three goals are all from his head.
Yeah.
No surprise there.
I think at the end of his career, everybody retires, but Andy Carroll's going to be put down.
Yes.
But Benteke, which is his counterpart on the other side, he didn't have a very good game. I saw a tweet that made me laugh. He was saying... West Ham's best form of defense is Benteke's first touch.
To be fair, Christian Benteke, over the holiday period, has missed at least two, maybe three glorious golden opportunities.
He's just not Benteking his chances.
No, he's not teching his chances at all.
That's true. And you know what? He's not an elite striker in any sense.
No, but he does score some phenomenal goals.
He does. And I think in a good system, if everyone around him is playing well, he could... you know, get his goals, but he's not that guy that will, you know, pull you across the line on his own. He's just not that guy.
No, and I think if you put Benteke into this kind of West Ham team,
yes,
I think you might see the best of him. But when he's playing, he's supposed to be that kind of link guy with the three behind him, the Lallana, Firmino, Coutinho. I'm not sure he has the kind of intricate skills to be that link-up player that we often see Giroud doing that kind of role at Arsenal. I don't know that Benteke has that.
You're right. In this system, I mean, yes, he is a target man, but sometimes he is forced to play like a false nine to bring people into play. And that's what we saw when Klopp used Firmino there.
Mm.
He used him there because he needed that intricate touch where he can play as a false nine. And Benteke is forced to do that sometimes, just how the game ebbs and flows. And you can tell he's really uncomfortable doing it. But West Ham, we got to give them a lot of credit.
Yeah.
They played very well all game.
Yeah.
And Payet didn't even start. He came on
just
like
his mere presence.
Dimitri Payet came on in this game and he had some nice silky smooth moves to say, hey, I'm back.
That's true.
Yeah. West Ham 2-0. Like, you know,
couldn't get better
for Slaven Bilic.
Yeah, Jenkinson was on the bench. I think he lost his spot recently. Mm. But came on in the last 5 minutes just to shore things up. At the end of the day, I think West Ham really deserved these 3 points.
Yeah.
It was clear.
And West Ham, since Payet has been out, have suffered a dramatic loss of form.
Yes.
And they're starting to come back from that now, which is good because they were an exciting thing about the first half of the season, their form and their ability to beat the big teams.
Agreed. The one thing that we saw in this game as well, which was really funny, was the plastic bag that was kind of floating around on the field due to the wind and stuff. And Mark Noble, he picked it up, stuffed it in his shorts, and kept going. And, you know, Twitter was just having a lot of fun.
No, like, I could use this later.
Wow.
Yes. But, yeah, so
just before we move on, Bilic has made a couple of big, big statements. I think he might have got a bit excited.
Mm-hmm.
He compared Payet to Ozil.
Okay.
And in terms of chance creation, I mean, they're not that far off.
Sure.
But
A bit much. Chance creation, fantasy points, kind of similar.
I think Payet has a couple of World Cups as well under his belt.
Yeah, he does.
Who does he play for?
He only just made it into the France.
That is a very good question.
Like, I didn't go into
we'll leave that question
that
out to
second, but
our listeners. Please answer our questions.
France.
Yeah, yeah.
But he only like just made it into the France squad. Anyway, but Bilic also said when everyone is fit, there aren't many better sides than West Ham.
Like starting 11 when everyone's fit?
I guess.
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe
starting
in terms
11
of
is better. Southampton starting 11 is better.
Surely in terms of doggedness, West Ham is up there. Southampton is equally up there,
but
they're really good at home as opposed to West Ham being giant killers away from home as
Unfortunately,
well.
Unfortunately, there isn't a doggedness league.
they'd win that.
Fair play league, but not a doggedness.
I mean, with
league.
Big Sam, you'd also have won that one.
True.
Don't need to change managers
Pulis
for that.
Champion of the world.
Yes.
Anyway, let's move on.
Moving on, Arsenal 1, Newcastle 0. This was the most undeserved win I have ever seen.
Please tell us how you feel.
I feel great to get the 3 points,
yeah.
But it was didn't look like it was coming. I mean, what Newcastle should have had 3 goals if it... Petr Cech, that 1-on-1 versus Wijnaldum, he stays big.
Yeah.
When Wijnaldum was going on 1-on-1, I wasn't even worried. That's how confident Cech makes me feel in goal.
And you're worried most of the time.
Oh, all the time.
And obviously, this was a televised game. So as Alex and I have said in the past, when the games are televised, Newcastle play at 150% because they're all looking for jobs.
They are literally two different teams.
Yeah.
Televised Newcastle, non-televised Newcastle.
Yeah. But to be fair, a 1-0 win for Arsenal, not a bad result at all, given how other teams have been dropping points everywhere and results are so unpredictable. 3 points any week are big.
The result is fine. Obviously, the performance was concerning because it really was dire going forward. It was disjointed. There was no link-up, really. But I think the Christmas period is very difficult for all teams. They've played so many games in such little time. At this point, it's about getting through until the next time that you can actually have a week to rest.
Well, I mean, the difference from last year was during the Christmas period, it was like a record amount of goals during the period. Right now, we're finding it hard to find goals. There's a lot of... I mean, teams look really tired.
They really do.
The Arsenal players looked exhausted at the end of that game. And that Arsene Wenger said it after the game. He said, you know what? Players are tired. They've played 3 games in a week. And I'll take the 3 points however they come. So at the end of the day, I mean, a couple of things about the game. Koscielny coming up with a goal.
He does that, man.
Against Newcastle especially, he does that. He did that a few seasons back with securing fourth spot, also winning 1-0.
I believe it's his third career goal against Newcastle.
Most against
Newcastle. He is a 6-yard box predator.
Yeah, yeah. Giroud did really well for that goal. Mm.
I'm glad you're giving him some credit.
You know what? Giroud for the past couple of games has been...
Oh, he's been
borderline phenomenal.
But? Who hasn't been?
Who hasn't been has been Ox. Oxlade-Chamberlain has been very... It's just disappointing.
Sorry. Get his name right. Yeah.
Okay.
Alex Oxlade, final
product.
Chamberlain.
Lacking final product.
Yes, and it's been, we just from a soft spot point of view, like, Arsenal fans have a soft spot for Ox.
Everyone loves Ox.
Yes, there's nothing to hate about him, but it's just, it's been five seasons now. I mean, you're not, it's just everything. People think Ox is still young, still fitting in, but it's been five seasons. He hasn't scored more than two goals a season.
Yeah.
Perfect summation of Ox's role in this game was to see him get into a really good position to cross the ball in, but when he crosses it, the ball goes out of the TV picture. And over the goal, out for a goal kick.
Yeah, the cameraman, anytime Ox plays, is having a lot of trouble. But Ox, in 2015 in the league, doesn't have a single assist or goal. He's played like the third most games out of any Arsenal player. It's not good enough at this point.
It's disappointing, and kind of every season, at the start of every season, Arsenal fans will say, this is the season that Ox has to step up. And it never seems to happen. I mean, look, we've got half a season to go. Maybe things will change. He's clearly got all the talent in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it in fits and bursts over the course of these 5 years. It's just a case of, can he do it consistently? And so far the answer has been no, but we'll
but
see.
The fact that Joel Campbell has come in, taken his spot, and performed admirably. He's done, I mean, if you think about it, black and white, without Joel Campbell, Arsenal would not be in the Champions League knockout phase.
Yep.
They would not have won the few games where Alexis was out and Ramsey was out. And Ox was supposed to be that guy. This was supposed to be, all right, here's your run of games. You're going to now stake your chance, your position in the team. And he hasn't done it. And I don't know if he ever will at this point.
Joel Campbell actually did more in the 20 minutes he was on the pitch. I think, actually, you said this, than Ox did in the whole game.
Exactly.
What do you guys think of Aaron Ramsey in this game?
Okay, so Ramsey played at centre mid, because Orla's injured, that's why, and all that. And people like seeing Ramsey. And I think me and my brother were watching the game, and he summed it up perfectly. Ramsey does transition. He doesn't do possession.
Mm-hmm.
So Ramsey looks really good because the transition game looks really effective. Because Zorla, if you don't understand the game as much, or, you know, you want to see more bombing into the box and runs. And Ramsey gives you that because Zorla does the little intricate 1-2s. But you see Per Mertesacker this game. He's doing all the distribution from the back and it looks really awkward. Why? Yeah. Because Cazorla used to drop so deep. You know, when Cazorla and Coughlin played together, Cazorla was actually deeper than Coughlin. Now Flamini is deeper than Ramsey. So Flamini can't start to play the way Cazorla does. So Perez stuck doing it. And Ramsey,
perhaps unlucky to get a goal towards the end of this game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was a great chance. He got past like three players.
Absolutely. Just on the Ramsey thing, and then we'll move on. But I think if you compare him to other players of the past, he's quite a Lampard-style player.
Hmm.
He'd rather be on the end of a move than doing the build-up, as you say. Like, Cazorla has him in spades over in that respect. But Ramsey would be ideal, I think, in a midfield three without a number 10. So you've got, for example, a defensive midfielder, one other box-to-box, and then Ramsey. Because that gives him the license to go and be whoever he wants to be. Whereas if he's in part of a two, he has that defensive responsibility. And as we've said before, he doesn't always fulfill it.
The last point is, yes, tactically Ramsey is susceptible because we've seen in games when Arsenal 1-0 up or one goal up and it's like the 90th minute and Ramsey's in the box trying to score a goal and
he's
like
a dog chasing a bone.
Yeah, just stay, you know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Definitely.
I think Wilshere suits that role a bit more, but Ramsey has just, that one season.
Well, you know what, all said and done, 3 points for Arsenal and the next couple of games are supposedly extremely difficult, aren't
they? Liverpool away, Stoke away and Chelsea home. So, I mean, you could easily get no points out of those.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
Leicester, Bournemouth. I don't know. Leicester here,
missing. It's all falling apart.
Yes, it's all falling apart.
Unlucky, because they were doing so well.
They were, and 0-0 is not a good score here, because they should really get the 3 points.
Well, Bournemouth are down to 10 as well.
And a missed penalty.
Yeah, Mara's missing the penalty.
Yeah. What's up? So 2015 is over. Leicester are now no longer possessed.
Will they go back
to the bottom?
They're pulling off a Real Madrid where, you know, the new year starts and you just can't score a goal. Vardy hitting the post, missing a few good chances as well. You know what? They're still in a very good position. They're like 2 points from the top.
They're definitely not getting relegated.
No. Listen, no one's actually going overboard. Like, it's just hashtag Bant. But they should still finish in the top four or six based on their position now. I don't expect them to.
Based on historical data, yes, but this season is completely astray. Everything is aloof.
If they don't finish in the top
aloof.
If that doesn't make any sense.
If they don't finish in the top four, I don't think they'll be happy because they should really finish the top four at this point. I mean, they're 2 points of the top, more than halfway through the season.
And 3 points from safety.
True.
Yeah.
This imaginary line of safety is surely pushed back a few points this season.
Yeah.
It's the lowest points total for any team in since 2001 or something.
Aston Villa's doing their best to keep the average really low.
Yeah. A team that has never been relegated, Aston Villa.
True. Absolutely. Well, we'll get to that, but first, before moving on from this game, Bournemouth had already signed Iturbe on loan from Roma, which is a crazy signing. I mean,
Juan Iturbe.
Yeah, this is a team that just got promoted, and now they're signing Iturbe on loan.
There's only Juan Iturbe.
Yeah. There's only Juan.
So, what do you guys think? I mean, first of all, it's crazy to think about the amount of money teams have.
Yeah.
And I think his buyback clause is 12 million. So that means Bournemouth have 12 million on the side to potentially.
Oh, for sure. Especially if they stay up.
Yeah.
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 Are they staying up?
We'll see. There are definitely worse sides than them. Newcastle, Villa and Sunderland are all much worse.
Yeah. But
Sunderland, I mean, they got a win this weekend.
And against Villa.
You just can't write off Sam Allardyce. You just can't.
True.
Those PowerPoints, you know. Those PowerPoint slides go a long way.
Yeah. Next, we've got United 2, Swansea 1. So, let's talk before the game. Yeah. United came up with some really good stats coming into this game. It's their worst home form since the 90s. So, you know, Van Gaal breaking records the same way Moyes was. United, this blew my mind. United have the worst home form in terms of goals scored at home out of all 92 teams in any level of British or English
football. Yeah, I think to put things in perspective, there were a lot of draws. And in recent weeks, I think one or two losses have really... everything's kind of like been blown out of proportion. But 4 or 5 games ago... this was one of the best-looking home records in the league. They only conceded one goal at Old Trafford.
Defensively, yes. It's just the problem is in the attack. I mean, you've got Martial and Rooney who haven't really been hitting any
definitely not
until this game.
Yeah, there was a bit of pressure going in. I think the Christmas period, they have a short on confidence after getting knocked out of the Champions League. They had a few injuries in their squad, and a lot of young players were playing. Cameron Borthwick-Jackson was playing. Guillermo Varela was playing.
Yeah.
And these are players you've never heard of.
So, I mean, this game, though, Rooney and Martial linked up really well. Martial getting the goal and an assist.
Yeah, I think more importantly, finally beating Swansea.
Mm.
4 games.
You do have trouble with them. Yeah,
definitely a big bogey-killing team. But yeah, I think there was a big step up in the attack in this game. A lot of chances were created, and Martial... goal and an assist, excellent performance. Rooney with a sublime back heel.
With the left foot, too.
That was easily the best thing he's done in a number of years.
Yeah, I think. Easily.
That was a moment of real top quality.
Shocking, if you ask me.
It was shocking.
The way Martial got past the right back was shocking.
Very easy.
He wasn't there.
Yeah.
Martial glides past people.
Yeah.
He really has it.
Young, I think, was the most dangerous player. A lot of crosses from right back.
Ashley Young had a lot of good crosses, a lot of chances created. But Rooney has now become the second highest Premier League scorer of all time.
Yes, and at 188 goals. There is no way he's reaching Scherer's 260.
Definitely not. As we've said on the pod, in his last 10 goals, they've taken 6 months to come.
Yeah.
But he's broken all sorts of records for England for Manchester United.
That's true. The one thing I want to say is when Herrera plays, United look a bit more slick.
Yeah.
And he started this game with, I think it was Bastian and Schneiderlin. And I think Schneiderlin should always play.
Yeah.
And Herrera should always play. It's always between Carrick and Schweinsteiger for me. And whatever. You can pick who he wants. But Herrera and Schneiderlin have to play.
Agreed completely. Yeah. And I would play them, personally, I would play them as the two rather than Herrera as a 10, because I don't think... I think he's a box-to-box player.
So you play Mata, you play a midfielder, Mata, Herrera, and let's say...
and Schneiderlin. Yeah, that would be my three right there, and that would be it all season.
Right.
With, you know, you can bring on the old guys to shore up the game at the end. But better Herrera and Schneiderlin than nothing.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely Schneiderlin has to be involved in some way.
So a good 3 points there for United. Swansea haven't hired a new manager yet. Are they gonna, or are they gonna maybe try and kind of just see this out? Because they're only like 2 points off relegation right now. It's dangerous.
They saw it out with Monk. I mean, that's how Monk got the job, right? Mm. Laudrup left, Monk saw out the season. They went for Bielsa. It didn't work out. Rumour has it he wasn't all that interested. I don't know who else they're looking at. It's kind of gone quiet. Moyes rejected it. Giggs rejected it, at least allegedly. Mm. We'll see. I don't know.
Gary Neville's job will open up soon, and he'll go for Swansea.
Maybe. Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. Swansea play good football. I'd be quite disappointed to see them go down.
I really don't think that they're going to go down, because we have Villa definitely going down, Newcastle hopefully going down.
I mean, they're only 2 points, man.
Yeah.
They're only 2 points. I mean, Newcastle do look better recently. Sunderland, I don't know. Anyways, we'll see. But I hope they don't go down, because they try and play football.
They do.
Yeah, they're a good team.
Yeah. With the quality of their squad, they really shouldn't, but we've seen that kind of thing happen.
Very likable team as well.
So... yeah, let's talk about the relegation game then. The Sunderland-Villa game. This was, like they say, a six-pointer for either team. They were bottom and second bottom before the game started, and still. But, you know, this one was very important. And Villa losing here has really put them in a horrible position. Sunderland have gotten the 3 points, taking them to 15.
They were in a horrible position before, during, and after this game. Nothing has changed.
Even with a win.
Yes. But Villa will be looking at the fixture list, being like, right, Sunderland, there's a chance that we can win that game. Because for most of them, there really isn't.
But Sam Allardyce comes up with the goods.
Yeah.
I mean, their equaliser, Aston Villa's equaliser to put the game at 1-1 was fantastic. Armand Traore, who was on loan from Barcelona.
Adama Traore.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I think they actually signed him permanently.
What?
For like 8 million.
Really?
Yeah. There's a buyback clause, as always, with Barca players. Right. But I think they actually signed
8 million. Yeah. First of all, the guy's body is not that of a footballer.
Or a 20-year-old.
Or a 20-year-old. Well, I mean,
his birth certificate should be checked.
Yeah, but fine. He ran past three players, the whole field up, brilliant, and put in a very good cross. Where Carlos Gil, or whatever, put it in really nice.
Beautiful
really nice.
Left-footed volley.
Yes. Yeah.
It reminded me of, like, Di Canio. You know?
Mm.
Yeah. This goal was so good, it was not an Aston Villa goal. And right. I don't think the players knew how to celebrate.
They were like,
They were like, well, 2016, I guess, is off to a good start.
This is this equalizing goal.
With this majestic equalizing goal.
I would find it very difficult to celebrate goals as a Villa player before, like, the 91st minute. So, like, there's way too much left of this
yes,
game.
Yes, true. Defoe, I mean, came up with two goals after that. And they were really good goals.
They were. And he was so happy to score. Yeah. It's like his lifeblood, man. Like, he's just...
Defoe enjoys playing. He enjoys scoring goals and playing. It's just, sometimes he goes missing for, like, long periods.
Yes.
And then he comes up with a game like this, and then people remember this is what Defoe does. He scores goals. Yeah. And
maybe his ma fed him the meatloaf.
Yeah, the meat. Ma! Meatloaf! But yes, like we said, very, very important 3 points for Sutherland to keep them, I mean, away from the Villa and closer to the Newcastle and the Swansea's.
Yes.
And right now they're only like 2-3 points away from relegation. So it's hard to predict at this point. But
big 3 points for Sunderland.
Their defense will always let him down. And I was telling my brother, we were watching this game, I'm like, everybody should put the striker, whoever's playing Villa in their Fantasy Premier League.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and make him captain and just,
yeah. Mika Richards, we said it before, Mika Richards, I like him, but he's not a Premier
Own
League
goal.
Central defender.
Own goal from a Van Aanholt.
It was unlucky.
Is he a central defender? Is he a soccer player?
He started
player?
The season really well.
For like one or two games.
Yeah. Next we've got Watford and City. This was another Arsenal-Newcastle game where City, I mean the top two in Arsenal and City, forget Leicester for a bit, really didn't deserve the 3 points this week. City winning this one 2-1 away, and Watford is a really tough game at this point because they have Digne and Ighalo, and they've been on fire.
I feel like if every game started in the 80th minute, City would be top by miles.
Yeah.
They seem to just decide when to play, and it's always in the last 10, 15
minutes. But it's
minutes.
Also Yaya Toure as
well. It's
Yaya
just,
team.
Yeah.
I think Watford were robbed in this game because they played really well for 80 minutes.
They did.
And were completely undone by an amazing left-footed volley off a corner.
It was stunning.
It was effortless. That's the bit about it. He just, like, jogged up to it, put it in, and then jogged back to the center. Like, it was nothing. Like
all timing.
Yeah. Yaya literally just decides when to start playing, and it's always in the last 15 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And you know what? It helped City at this point. Watford were looking much better. They were pushing for a second. I mean, I remember, again, watching with my brother and thinking, they should just relax a little bit. But no, they were like bombing up trying to get this, and they were close.
Let's go back to Watford's goal, too. I think it was Ben Watson who put the corner in.
Yeah.
He whipped that right in. It took a flick off, who was it?
Kolarov. Yeah.
And Joe Hart was hilariously diving back into it. He was in the back of the net
Ben
before
Watson
the goal
had,
he was,
before
yes.
the ball was.
Ben Watson had one very, very similar early in the game, and it came really close as well. So clearly he's whipping them in on purpose, in that technique. But that did pay off for Watford. They went 1-0 up. And then City, like we said, two moments of brilliance. Aguero, really nice kind of fade-away header.
Ooh,
that ball
was a beautiful header.
It was. Sanya finally delivering a cross.
Very good cross, yes. Two goals in 2 minutes there.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that. Remember that Kane header against Arsenal last season where the ball was coming to the back post and he just steers it into the opposite.
I love
it
a fade-away header
where
you're going away from the cross and you know you're not going to get any power, so it's got to loop into that far corner.
It reminds me of one of my headers.
Yes, Roche.
To the opposite corner of the goal, yeah.
Yeah.
From 18 yards out.
I was Sanya in that instance,
yes,
crossing it in.
Yeah, beautiful cross.
Yeah, too bad it was called offside.
Yeah, the linesman got it wrong, in my opinion.
I heard it took you 5 minutes to jog up the pitch into position.
From left back.
Yeah, definitely a bit of momentum built up.
But yeah, Aguero would have been proud of that one.
Yes.
City with a very important 3 points. This is their first away win since September.
Jesus, really?
Yeah. Insane.
Wow. They,
I mean, I don't know how.
Is Manchester that nice that you get so used to?
Yes.
Anyway.
Sterling had a horrible game.
Yeah.
Just for the record. Just
man, ever since that haircut.
And the sideburns.
Yeah.
They're awful.
What is that?
He looks like Mr. T, but like a miniature version.
Very, very miniature
version.
He just looks like a street kid.
Before we move on from this, I have to say, Otamendi looks good. He was expensive.
Apart from the hair.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. But it suits his character. It's like kind of Roman warrior haircut.
Sure.
Okay, people said he was very expensive. They already had Mangala and whatever, but Mangala is horrible compared to Otamendi. Otamendi's looked really good. He's played really well, and I'm quite impressed. I watched the whole game, and he looked really solid. Fernandinho is someone who I think is crucial for City.
Oh, he is.
There was a comment I made while watching this game, and it was about Otamendi. I think it was Odion Ighalo bursting his way into the box, and he nutmegged Otamendi.
Yeah.
And my comment was, well, if I cost $50 million, I could do exactly what he just did.
Yeah, I could get nutmeg every week.
Yeah, every week.
That's true. I mean, I said the same thing about people were like, oh, Mourinho got the sack. That's so bad. If I get $40 million for getting sacked, I will get sacked every day of the week, twice on Sunday. Yeah. Like,
I could have had those Chelsea players as unmotivated as he did. No problem.
We could... You know what? Let's talk about the Chelsea unmotivated players, because they sure look motivated since he's left.
Yeah, they're enjoying their lives now.
They are. Costa is smiling. Oscar is actually getting games. Hazard is doing his best to not play. He got injured in the first 15 minutes, limped off.
He has not scored in a long time.
28 games. I'm keeping count.
I think we're edging closer towards that Fernando Torres kind of something's probably wrong in your personal life kind
except
of
that,
form.
Yes.
Except that he never changed clubs.
No, true, but Torres changed clubs in the middle of his, like, whatever that episode was that caused him to be rubbish for, like, 4 years.
And but just like Shevchenko before him, Torres died when he reached Chelsea.
Yeah.
But Shevchenko at least was old. Torres was, like, 26.
Torres was at his peak.
Yeah.
I mean, back to Hazard, it's also since, people like to say that it's since Mourinho said he was better or as good as Messi and Cristiano.
Kiss of death.
And since then, yeah.
We've said it on the podcast as well.
Yes.
Top five players in the world.
We said the minute someone compares you to Messi, you start to play really horribly.
Even Bernie said breakout year for Hazard, like top three.
Yeah. But yes, so Hazard was off injured, but the players on the field played really well. Oscar was fantastic. Goal and assist in quotations. Willian with a bullet shot. Costa doing his job as a center forward.
I was very surprised that he squared that ball to Oscar as well for the first goal.
Yeah. But it was so unnatural. Like, he tried to act like he was going to shoot so much that it was so, like, over the top.
Yes. Yeah. He might win an Emmy for that performance.
Yeah, his, like, elbow came up. He's like, you guys ready for this? It was quite funny.
Big result, though, over all said and done.
Cesc played really well.
Yeah.
Great ball for that Costa assist.
Yeah. That Willian got to it. Sorry, I just want to go back to it for a second. What a hit. Willian is so impressive.
Willian, he adds a bit more, like, kind of stats to his game, assists and goals, and he's phenomenal. He just needs to add that bit.
He's been their best player of the season
to date. 2015, year. Yeah, I agree. And it's also Chelsea's first away win since August. No one's winning away. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Except for West Ham.
Before we move on, Palace... We're missing a few players. No Bolasie, no Kabaye. So
that's big. Kabaye especially. He's the heartbeat of the team.
And Bolasie.
Matic got dropped for Mikel.
Mm.
Mikel had a fantastic game, I have to say. He played
Mikel's
very
not played 2 weeks in a row, which is probably a record.
A record for Mikel, yes.
Are we really that surprised that Matic was dropped? Because he's done some absolute gobshite on the field.
The problem is they've all been gobshite. Just no one has been dropped.
I wonder if it's not more rotation. So... Cesc was, like, in quotes, dropped last week, and Mikel played with Matic.
We all felt that when Cesc was dropped. You felt it over here, right? The tremors?
Yeah,
I felt
it. Was,
your hardwood floor damaged?
Yes, I got some cracks. I had to refloor the minute Cesc was dropped.
Imagine when Mikel gets dropped. Oh, boy. But then this week, Matic was, quote-unquote, dropped. So I'm wondering if he's just not rotating them, because Mikel has barely played until now, and those two have played a lot of games.
But Mikel is happy to barely play.
Oh, yeah.
He loves it. He just sits there. He's fine.
Yeah, he's very happy and comfortable.
I mean... To be fair, what he does at the bench is what they need him to do on the field. Just sit there.
Yes. It's true.
Everton Spurs. This one, I love it when Everton plays Spurs. I know Spurs have kind of made the jump up the bracket a bit, but to me, back in the day, it's always been Everton, Spurs are in that same mix and they produce really good games.
They produce very equal games.
Yes.
Even, as you say, Tottenham are outperforming Everton in the league. But
yep.
In terms of the starting 11s and the way they play, it's very, very equal. And this was... I'm still catching my breath from watching this game.
The last 20 minutes were... You literally forget to breathe.
Yes.
It was intense. Both teams, none of them were happy with a draw. And they were like, you know what? If I lose, I lose. But I'm going to go for this 3 points.
Yeah, I think for both teams, you look at this fixture and you think, okay, this is going to be... You're going to go for it, regardless of what the outcome is going to be. And it's weird that it ended up being 1-1.
Yeah, they could have definitely been like 3-3.
Well, at the end, Tottenham were defending. They were just leaving the centre-backs.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really, really going to try and win this game, which, I mean, away from home, a point
you'd
at Everton
it.
Is not a bad result, but Pochettino really wanted to drive that
it
result
It shows
home.
You Spurs' ambition this
yeah.
season. People are talking about a title push. Sure, they might not win it, but they're not far off. They should... Okay, if they don't make top four this year...
Mm.
It's the biggest bottle of Spurs has ever... Because they love a bottle. They love
it. Oh, yeah.
Like, Spurs just
yeah.
love it. So if they don't
like
make
George
top...
Like George Best. Loves the
yeah.
yes.
yes. And Arsenal centre-back, what's the name?
Antonio.
Yeah.
Love the bottle.
He loved the bottle.
Martin Keown as well.
Nah,
yeah,
so
also Raheem Sterling's babies, they all love a bottle. anyways, back to the game. Alderweireld.
Yes.
With another
well
one
done,
of his...
by the way.
Thank you, I always mess it up.
Yes.
With another one of his trademark long balls, straight assist.
He's
very impressive. Ali with that chest. I mean, Riche, you love a chest.
It was a good chest, yeah, majestic.
Yes.
He's definitely been watching me play. That's for sure.
Just, yeah. But Ali took it down really well. People talk about Kane and whatever, and I think if Spurs keeps... Dele Alli and he kind of produces this season in, season out, he could be a huge player.
Can I sing you a quick song?
Yes, please.
What? Dele Alli breaking free into the area.
I like it. Yeah. Cool. So if he becomes that
Spurs fan, and here's
a
yellow card
for
you.
Yeah, you can use that for free. And if he ever becomes a wrestler, that can be his intro song.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Prince Alli.
Yeah.
Delhi.
Yeah.
Okay. Well done, Alex.
Yes.
You still got booked.
Yeah. Suarez loves a Delhi, Ali.
I think Rooney likes a Delhi.
Anyway, it was a bloody amazing
it was.
Goal.
And then Lennon scoring against... I mean, we've seen Carroll do it against Liverpool. Lennon did it against Spurs. Look, that talking about chests.
Desk.
That
desk
goal
chest.
Had two chests.
He practically had two boots on his chest to take that down.
He did. Lukaku bringing it down with his chest. Onto Lennon's chest. That was a chest-to-chest pass.
Oh.
How often does that happen? And then a brilliant finish into the far left. But it's not his politics. It's just
he put it
in the far left.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I was
yeah.
still thinking about the chest-to-chest passing, and it happens mostly in porn.
Right.
Yeah.
Moving on.
A song, Alex? Maybe?
No songs.
But Bessic and Delafeu came on. Kills me why Delafeu didn't start. Maybe Martinez one of the more...
Perhaps he's been rested.
To be fair, Lennon started and scored.
Yes. But I don't know. Delafeu has been in crazy form. Him and Lukaku have been a great partnership.
True.
Lukaku played great again. Like, he's really looking good. He's top.
Yeah.
When you tally up assists and goals, he's top with 20. I think 15 and 5.
Mm.
He's been unbelievable. So, Everton, I have a soft spot for Everton. Someone was asking recently online about who do you think you would have supported if you didn't support who you support. And Everton were up there for me.
Would you have said the same on De Moyes?
I've liked them. You know,
about Everton, they've been playing a similar style of football this season as they were in Martinez's first season.
Yes.
But not in his second season.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, the second
That's
season,
true.
they it was... It,
Has I, anyone noticed that?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think everyone was very, very critical of Martinez and Everton last season because they focused a lot on the Europa League and their league form went to pot.
Yeah.
And this season, they don't have the Europa League as a distraction and you can
yeah.
really tell the difference.
To be honest, we did, and I remember clearly predicting this at the end of Martinez's first season where they made it into the Europa League. We said, this is not going to be a good thing.
It's a killer.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to Moom of the Week.
Yeah, that's enough of that.
Moom!
Of the week.
So our first move this week is Sergio Ramos. Because Sergio Ramos was really happy about 2016 coming and he took to Instagram and posted an entire collage of himself
mm-hmm.
And his best moments in 2015. But one of these moments just happened to be a random picture of Messi's baby.
Yeah, so Messi having a baby was one of Sergio Ramos's highlights. It was quite funny. It
has been a poor season for Real Madrid, to be fair. I mean, maybe he's got to look elsewhere for inspiration.
I wonder why he had that picture to begin with.
Yeah, did he have a picture of, like, the moon with the ball, his penalty on it? Because that would be quite funny.
I think it's one of the craters on the moon, that's for sure.
Some Barca fan is a programmer at Instagram and just, like, screwed him over.
Or, like, a NASA guy calling one of the craters, you know, Ramos XMZ or no, P, whatever.
Maybe it was Ramos's baby.
Yeah.
Ooh. No, the plot. Definitely not.
Alex.
I've got another plot here. So Troy Deeney, star of Watford's Premier League season, or co-star with Odion Ighalo, when he was 15, he was offered a four-day summer trial at Aston Villa. Having joined from Chelmsley Town, he was scouted by Warsaw head of youth Mick Halsall, who only attended the game Deeney was playing in because his son was also playing.
Yes.
And due to the game he was scheduled to attend being postponed.
Mm-hmm.
Deeney was playing while drunk, but put in probably the best performance anyone has ever done while drunk.
How old was he? Does it say 15. So he was drunk at 15?
Wow. Standard English.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Scored 7 goals.
Nice.
In an 11-4 win.
Nice.
That caused him to be offered a trial by the League 2 club, or League 2 at the time, Chelmsley.
Chelmsley.
And he almost didn't attend that either.
Yeah, the manager had to get him out of bed and pay for his taxi to get there. So, all in all, he really didn't want to be a footballer.
No.
Like, he's a very reluctant professional.
Yeah. I mean, professional is... I mean, it would never be used with Deeney. I mean, in 2012, he went to jail for kicking a man in the head.
That's brutal.
Did the head go in the goal? That's the question.
That is the question. But yeah. With Troy Deeney, I mean, unless it was a penalty, I don't think it did.
To be fair, just to balance this out, I have read a recent interview with him where he said his wife was crucial to him being a normal human being.
I mean, someone has to, because clearly he can't do it himself.
He also scored that goal against Leicester in the playoffs.
He did. He's a legend.
Where the fans rioted the field and...
Cool.
The Watford-Leicester classic playoff.
Sure.
The one where Almunia
made the penalty save.
Yeah.
They brought the
ball upfield. That was an epic moment of epic moments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My moo-moo is... This made me laugh. It's the Everton Twitter account. So you know how, like, we have our Under the Cars blog Twitter and we all have our own.
Yeah.
So you switch between the accounts, and then, you say, oh my God, I love Arsenal, Spurs
are
really bad.
Easy to screw that transition up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you go to the Under the Cars blog one and you say, oh, Spurs are having a great season. like that. So this is what happened. And the actual Everton Twitter account tweeted, oh, I had a lovely day out with my sister. Best day ever. And everyone was like, you forgot to switch accounts, man. And it was quite funny.
That's very funny.
Yeah, so Momo for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so La Liga this week. Some exciting results here. Espanyol drawing 0-0 with Barcelona. I mean, the last time Barcelona have not scored a goal or drew 0-0 was like 30 games ago. And, you wouldn't bet that the Messi's, Neymar's, and Suarez would go a whole 90 minutes without scoring.
Yeah, exactly. It's unbelievable that they didn't match a score goal.
Yeah.
But this was against Espanyol, their local Catalan rivals.
Mm-hmm. It was a big game. It was a big game. They hit so many posts, though. They hit like 3-4 posts.
There are only two.
Nice. Repeatedly.
Yes.
Fine.
Wow.
So Barcelona dropping 2 points there in their bid for...
The title.
The treble.
La title. It's known in Spain.
Yes. La titulo. Atletico doing really well to keep up their top right now. Beating Levante 1-0. Very hard fought win. What's his name started over Torres? The striker.
Jackson?
Yeah.
He doesn't start as often as I thought. He must be taking that transition a bit more difficult, more difficultly than anyone imagined. Because I thought, Portugal to La Liga shouldn't be too much of a transition, but maybe he's now starting to feel his way into the team.
Yeah. It was a very good win for Atletico. The goal came in the 80th or 81st minute.
They score late.
The guy with the very English name, I think his name was Partey?
Oh, Thomas.
Thomas?
Yeah, Thomas Partey. Yeah.
He subbed on like a minute before.
Partey
took them to the top.
All right, this sounds like French class, where you say all the verbs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Atletico got the 3 points, Barcelona didn't, and Madrid didn't either, playing Gary Neville's Valencia at the Mestalla.
What a game.
What a game.
The ending of this game rivaled the Everton-Tottenham one, to be fair. The game started off, Real Madrid looked good, again with a huge gap, vacuum in the center of the field, but whatever.
You know who could have helped them with the vacuum in central midfield?
Who?
Freddie Adu.
Wow. He sells some good vacuums.
I thought you were going to say Troy Deeney because of his peripheral vision.
That might help.
That might help.
Suck dirt out from the sides.
All right.
Yes. Madrid went 1-0 up with one of the best team goals you'll see this season.
Okay.
No.
It was a good goal. It wasn't the best.
No. It was sublime.
It was pretty good.
Two back heels, one no-look from Ronaldo.
The no-look. Ronaldo's just so cocky.
To be fair, he was looking at him right before he did the no-look.
Well,
so.
Yes, but...
It's not a no-look game. It's just a no-look pass.
He was facing him. He just looked away. He was clearly looking at him before he did the no-look.
Fine, but that's how no-look works. You look away just before you make
the
pass.
I'm just taking away from Ronaldo's assist.
I have been looking at you. Now I'm looking at Mo. This is a no-look comment, Roche.
Yes, this is a no-look. Exactly. That's exactly how the pass works.
Yes. Glad we...
But it was a great goal, 1-0 at that point.
But it's also lovely when a player starts and finishes a move, which is what happened in the case with Benzema. Started it, flicked it to Bale, to Ronaldo, back to Benzema, and into the corner, and Ray Hudson lost his shit.
Yeah, Benzema still had a lot to do.
Yes.
I mean, we laughed at Ray Hudson's comment too. He said Isosceles himself would be proud of that triangle, which was a great comment.
That's lovely. That's a great comment.
He wrote that up, yeah.
Yeah. He had that written in case there was a triangle pass.
Yeah.
So then Valencia came back with a penalty that we thought would not be given just because it's against Madrid.
Yeah.
But it was given. Because I think Pepe fouled him twice.
Andre Gomez burst into the box. Pepe, yeah, like he could have gone down a few seconds earlier. But he
very fair call, yes. Yeah.
Right, Valencia equalizing 1-1 there. And then Kovacic...
So Mateo Kovacic seemed to have done a studs up tackle, got a straight red in the 69th minute.
Yeah, it looked deserved, to be honest.
Still 1-1 at this point.
Still 1-1. And then Madrid came back with a 2-1, 10 men down. Cruz with a free kick and Bale with the header.
Yeah, 82nd minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
The
at
monkey
that point,
god leaping high above the trees,
the
nod
ten
the
men
coconut into
above
the
canopy. Yeah.
The 10 men, the 10 men of Madrid doing a heroic performance away at the Mestalla, on the way to victory, closing the gap on Barcelona. However, right after the kickoff, Valencia equalized.
Yes, and I mean it's no less than they deserve.
Mm.
To be fair, 2-2 is a fair. I mean it's a fair result, but at the start of the game, Madrid should have really blown them out of the water, which. But, you
on,
know,
on form. On, I mean, yeah. Valencia's form has not been good since Neville. Well, before Neville and since Neville.
But Neville now has a draw with Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Yeah,
true. And they're not scoreless either. I mean, they've scored goals against both of them. It's not like just a defensive display.
Valencia do show up for the big games. It was kind of like Sociedad last season. They play well when the occasion is massive. And it almost feels as though they don't feel as if they're worthy of... Or they don't feel they need to try in the smaller games because that's not their stage. This is their stage and this is where they perform. But as you were saying, it was breathless right until the last second. Both sides had unbelievably good chances to win it in the dying seconds.
Corner came in for Madrid and Bale somehow didn't connect with his head. It was a completely open goal. And then from that same attack, Valencia, the other side, beautiful counterattack. Negredo with...
A one-on-one.
Yes.
Obviously missed.
Yeah. Yeah. It was quite intense end of the game. So right now the table looks as follows. Madrid with 37, Barca with 39, and Atleti with 41. But Barca have a game in hand to take them to 42 if they win it. But Atleti are up there. They're 4 points above their local rivals in Madrid.
Well, what's interesting about the season in La Liga is usually if you lose a few games or if you start slowly, you're so far behind by the time you pick up your form that you can't get back into it. This season, Atleti started fairly poorly, and they're still not even winning a lot of games convincingly. They're scraping by, but they've made up that ground.
As much as I agree with your statement, and it is absolutely correct, Barca of last season, they looked like they weren't even going to make Champions League at one point.
And then they won the treble.
Before we end this, just because we did promise it in the intro, really quick transfer rumor, since it is January, and yes, we don't like them too much, but you know what? Elneny, Rabiot, however you want to say it, and Aubameyang rumors to Arsenal. And then he looks like it's coming through.
And then he's happening. The other two will never happen in a million years.
Yes. Okay, good. Felipe Anderson to United from Lazio.
I don't see it.
I don't know.
I don't see it either.
Isco to City
seems to be the most promising.
Isco's not happy at Madrid. We know that.
Granted, he needs to leave and he should leave and he should be someone's number one choice. And that's why I don't think it's City, because you've just signed De Bruyne, who is a number 10 but will play on the right. You've already got Silva. You're not letting him go anywhere. And then, you know, Nasri's kind of hanging around making videos or whatever he does.
Free agents. 4 big free agents next summer. Not this, obviously, transfers
in June,
but people might look into selling them if, you know, they're not going to renew. You got Figuli.
That's a good free that signing. Is
a, yeah, it's a good free signing to have in your squad. Ivanovic, why not?
He'll go to like Italy where they like old people. Yeah.
Lavezzi, I don't like him, but whatever, he's available. But the big fish is Ibra.
Oh, Zlatan.
I don't know,
he's
man.
Not gonna be like, he's gonna like, not going to like, wow, being called a fish.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a whale, if he is a fish.
Yeah. A whale of a catch.
Yeah. I mean, look, Ibra, for me, you give him a one-year contract, you sign him, you never know, man. You never know. He could have a great season, bang you in 30 goals, wherever.
It's true. Who, though?
He's so good.
He is so good. I mean...
maybe Real Madrid for a season? That would be interesting.
That would be. He'd love to stick one to Barcelona.
Yeah,
that would be great.
I think Madrid, yeah, they could use him for a season.
Or just wherever. He is a like, target man pace. I mean, not pace, but power, finesse.
Okay, I'm going to make a prediction here. He goes to whatever team Mourinho takes over next. That's my prediction.
Okay, so United...
wow,
maybe.
No, I don't want
to. Because you know Mourinho loves signing an old striker to just like complement his squad.
Yes,
those two love each other. So.
True.
I don't want him.
All right, well, we'll see how that prediction pans out, Alex.
Cool. Don't think he wants you either, Riche.
Bye.
All right, see you guys next week.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.